All right. So welcome to the Confused Breakfast Podcast. On this podcast, we review the movies that define the 80s, 90s, and 2000s for us as kids. But you really can't talk about the defining media of your formative years without talking about the rest of pop culture. On our mini episodes, affectionately known as Mini Bites, we dive into some other... Can you do the laugh one more time? we dive into some other aspects of childhood that must be explored. On today's fun-sized conversation, we discuss Nickelodeon's hit television show, Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Can you believe it?
Oh my God.
Okay, so how old were you guys when this show started to air?
Tell us the year. What were the years?
Well, okay, so just in general right now, created by David G. Stanley, Scott A. Stone, and Stephen Brown. And thank God for Stephen Brown for not including his fucking middle name. Jesus, guys, come on. And airing originally from September 11th, 1993. To November 24th, 1995, with three 40 episode seasons. There it is.
So I was, wow. This TV show was made for me.
Yeah.
I was 11 years old. Like, and that was probably the age of the kids, roughly. I think kids ranged anywhere from 10 to 14 years old.
11 to 14.
Was so it, yeah. This show was made for me, and I consumed it. Like, oh my God, it was amazing.
I must have started, like, way, because I was four when it started. So it was, like, really not when I was, like, really conscious of what the world was even. So like, I don't know, maybe I started watching reruns of this. I don't know.
It was on syndication for a while.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I remember watching this all the time. Okay. So I've described it once before, but my brother and I had bunk beds and we had this little tiny, it's like RCA TV, like that we had, the remote was broken. You had to get up to get to change the channel.
Yep.
So we were stuck on Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network.
Heck yeah.
Like all the time. Mm-hmm. Like when we finally got Cartoon Network, but we were stuck on Nickelodeon like all the time. So even when like Nick at Night came on, we didn't even change the channel, but like Legends of the Hidden Temple was like our jam. And I always said I was going to be on the Red Monkeys and Bob was in the Blue Barracudas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But why Red Monkeys?
Cause I liked red.
Oh.
I like the color red.
Monkeys are fun.
And there wasn't a wolf.
They played pretty well on that, to think that like a cool name with a cool animal with different colors, pick your favorite color, like that. Whoever came up with the show had some pretty smart decisions.
It's pretty smart. And I mean, like during this time, like it's kind of a miracle we even got this show. Well, not a miracle, but like the FCC was like really cracking down on violence and TV and everything like that, because things were kind of ramping up, especially being in the 90s. They were like letting a lot of stuff go. And so Nickelodeon was like really cashing in on this and like creating a network for children so they didn't have to, when they were surfing, you know, didn't have to surf and run across Lethal Weapon or something, you know.
And think about that. Think about what Nickelodeon was at that time.
I know.
I mean, think of the shows: Salute Your Shorts, Hey Dude, Double Dare, Wild and Crazy Kids. Like all, I mean, they Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
I mean, they were just nailing it back then. And this, I imagine that somebody came to him and was like, "Hey, we're gonna it's gonna be like a temple, and some like big mouth is gonna like tell stories, but they're like kind of true, but they're not. And then like the kids are going to like do stuff. And where you're barely going to have to give away prizes, cause no one's ever going to win at this.
Ever freaking wins.
And I swear they were probably like, yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it.
I don't care. I don't give a shit. Let's do it.
We need to fill time. Just give them the money, please.
So I did read that out of 120 episodes, right?
Yes. Yeah.
There were only 32 winners. And that, dude, and that seems high to me, because I very rarely remember. I remember being like, Tommy, my brother Tommy, yeah. Tommy, come here. I can't believe it. The Purple Parrots just won. He's like, I've never seen anyone win. Like, yeah, dude, they won. The Purple Parrots, 32 winners out of 120.
To break it down in even more numbers, 26.7% of teams attempted the final course made it through.
Actually even made it through.
Right. Well, it made it through, like, who won. That was 26.7% who made it.
Wow.
Who got, like, the trip, pretty much, and the boom box.
So, and one other thing I read, because, dude, I mean, AJ, let's be real. You just said it. Like, the dream, the reason that these shows worked out so well is it's the dream of being a contestant, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I always thought, like, okay, somehow, like, I don't know. We go to Florida a lot. I don't know. Maybe, like, we'll find out. Maybe they'll see me, like, playing football on the beach when I'm in Florida, right, and they'll be like, you kid, let's go to Legends of the Hidden Temple.
You don't even know.
but I did, you know, you grow up, you read some of the behind the scenes things that you're like, they apparently, like, 90% of contestants were just taken from Florida. They were just people that already lived in Florida. Yeah. So think about it. All of a sudden the trips were always like, you get a trip to Florida, and, like, they already live in Florida. So, like, all of a sudden they're not spending much money on these winners. And so that really took it away from me. I'm like, man, so I literally never had a chance.
Yeah. You went on an all expenses paid trip to Nickelodeon Studios in Orlando, Florida. Yes. It's like, all we're right, here. I live literally down the street.
I've actually been here all day for this show.
It's how I got on the show.
I don't know if you remember, but, like, I'm here right now.
Yeah.
And I got to go home tomorrow.
this is like, I wanted to be on the, you want to be on the show so bad, but then, like, at the same time, okay, so if that's the case, then, Mike, are people from Florida just really stupid? Because how did they not win? How did they not win? I'm just going to say, I could have put that monkey together in, like, 8.3 seconds.
Are we getting to the monkey already?
No, I'll let us go back, but I'm just saying, I get frustrated, okay?
Before we get to the monkey, I have a theory. It's called the Nickelodeon Theory.
Mike's fan theories.
Don't you worry about a thing.
I'm Sean.
What they did was, these people are smart that created these shows. They know. Yeah. If you were to watch a show like Nickelodeon Guts or Legends of the Hidden Temple, and, like, they were super overly athletic kids, you'd be like, you wouldn't be into it as much.
It's very true.
But you find yourself, especially with Guts and Temple, where you're yelling at the TV, be like, what is this kid doing?
Yeah.
He walked right past the shrine and he did not pick it up. I think on purpose, they pick the most mediocre average kids at the tryouts.
They pick the kids that want to be vets. They pick the kids who, like, I just learned the clarinet the other day.
Which we find out in many of the interviews on that show. So that is my theory, is that they would always pick the, like, I started to tell myself that had I even gotten a tryout, they wouldn't have picked me because I'm too good, too athletic.
I'm too dang good anyways.
That's my Nickelodeon fan theory.
Perfect.
I'm sorry, AJ. They pick. I'm sorry. They pick the kids who have to have their glasses strapped.
Exactly. Yeah,
those are, they spot them right away. They go, that guy.
They're just like,
in order to do any sort of physical activity, their glasses have to be fucking strapped to the back.
Yeah,
of their
exactly.
Well, and let's talk about the outfits too, because I think in season one they wear the colored shirt with the logo on it, which they got to keep. I did read that was a
and their shoes
right.
Bucks.
But then they had to tuck their shirt into, like, some khakis, like khaki shorts. But then they had to change before the temple run. They put on these yellow sweatpants, which then I guess in season two and three, they just wore the sweatpants.
Okay.
Why do we have yellow sweatpants on?
Seems gross. That
seems gross. I don't think they got to keep those. I think they literally just were like, okay, take those off and we'll give them to the next kid.
It's just like there's a box of those, like in a box of black belts, apparently. In What did you want to be? Like, what team did you want to be on?
AJ said Red Jaguars.
Red Monkeys, right? Red Monkeys.
No, it's Red Jaguars.
Is it Red Jaguars?
Here's the team names. The way I remember them is Red Jaguars, Blue Barracudas, Green Monkeys, Orange Iguanas, Silver Snakes, Purple Parrots.
That's right.
I remember.
My fault.
I remember that this was proven. I couldn't believe it. My brother and I used to always say that the Orange Iguanas were always the worst. That they always put the worst, dumbest kids on the Orange Iguanas, and it turns out that the Orange Iguanas only won 68 total team games over the course of those 120 episodes. They were the worst team. So I couldn't believe it was real. But yes,
they made it to the temple. the most out of every team.
The Orange Iguanas did? The
Orange Iguanas made it to the Temple Run the most, appearing 25 times.
But they did not win the most Temple times.
One of the worst records of of losing,
so,
actually.
So if they were just terrible teams, but if they were good, they were always good.
Yep.
But then they wouldn't do good in the clutch championship game. The Green Monkeys and the Silver Snakes are tied with 8 Temple wins. Mm-hmm. Did you read that?
Yeah. Purple Parrots appeared the least with 11. Green Monkeys and Silver Snakes were tied at 8 victories for the most successful Temple runs. Yeah.
But with that being said, I think I was always more of the Blue Barracudas. I was a blue.
That's me too, man.
Blue collar. They just look the coolest.
Why don't you get married, date each other or something?
Can we get your brother on the show?
Yeah, maybe you can. Maybe he'd like to do the show instead.
I was definitely a Blue Barracuda guy. And so let's break it down. If in case you have not seen this, I actually went on, you can go on YouTube and watch many of these episodes.
I've only found 2.
They're so good.
I watch them back to, I mean, I watch them just, over and over and over again.
Just go do it. But we're going to remind you of what happens. The intro, you get Olmec. Olmec is the guy with the mouth, the magical creature.
Played by D. Bradley Baker, who is a very famous voice actor now. He does a lot of video games and stuff like that.
Look at that.
Yeah.
They would start off with the 6 teams, and they would do something involving the moat. They called it the moat. Right. And in season 1, it was literally just a brown cesspool. And then I think they got a little money that came in for season 2 and 3, yeah, so they started adding smoke.
You can definitely tell.
There was smoke going across it. And I remember actually being fairly terrified of that, being like, if I could just get past the moat round, I know I'll be good. But man, the moat round.
I definitely thought that it was way deeper than it was. Apparently, I mean, it's like knee deep or something.
It was not. And it wasn't wide. I remember feeling that it was a wider cross pool. It was long. But like, just to get across, it really wasn't that tough.
Right.
And they do weird games like you'd have to like pull yourself across on a raft, and then your partner would have to pull the raft back and then pull themselves across. And the first 4 teams got to move on, and the other 2 teams literally wasted their entire day.
Fucking frustrating. You're just like, it's just like, well, one gets across and the other has to like throw the raft at one of the games or whatever, and it's like they throw the raft, but they throw it like 2 feet like right in front. I was like, dude, what the fuck? Like, we went through this.
And then they purposely paired like the really good athletic kid with the really not good athletic person. They purposely did that. They knew what they were doing.
They tried to
stack
teams. They tried to do boy girl boy girl too, right, as much as they could.
Yeah,
with the teams. But yeah, I mean,
so then they went from they went down to 4 teams, and they went to the Steps of Knowledge, where they got to tell you about every game had a theme, right? And it was, I guess it was very loosely based on like actual things that had happened in history, but
right.
But they kind of spruced it up for kids to keep their interest. Here's a few names. They have Lawrence of Arabia's headdress, the electrified key of Benjamin Franklin, the jewel encrusted egg of Catherine the Great. Like, they came up with the most weirdest things that they had to now talk about to kids that were not paying attention.
I saw one of the episodes was the lost pig of Amelia Earhart.
That was the one I watched.
Yeah.
What? That was the one I watched.
It's cool because like some of it's factual. And like, well, what was her, the Enola Gay or something, you know, like her, wasn't that her plane?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like some of it's factual and some of it's like bullshit. Like, because like Olmec will go through this whole spiel, which I can't imagine just like standing there, like, or even like at home, like, how did I not fall asleep while Olmec was just like, and then he
rambling on.
Yeah, then he took the pig to the thing and they cut it into 3s, and like one person had 1 3, the other one had the other half, the third had this, and are you guys done yet? Are you still listening?
Well, and there's always the athlete that usually the team that won the moat round first was made of the athlete kids that didn't know much about knowledge, and they would never leave their step. They would never get. And upon rewatching, I remembered something that I was so mad at. Some of the athletic kids would, all you had to do was stomp down.
Yeah.
You just had to put your foot on this actuator.
Yeah.
But like the athletic kids would raise their foot all the way in the air and then go bam. It's like, dude, you can just tap it.
It's
like,
okay.
Because see, that guy just, he answered before you because you raised your foot in the air and wasted 2 seconds.
Before we go any further, I'd like to introduce Kirk Fogg.
Kirk Fogg.
That was his name.
Oh, swinging in on the goddamn rope.
Yeah, doesn't he? He would come down and like rappel down.
I feel like he came in a couple different ways because I remember him rappelling down. I remember him like swinging in on like a vine chair thing and just like, and then like just jumping down like freaking Superman, just like, ha ha. Like,
I know the first season they had him like come down on stairs, like by Olmec. And then he said like, hi to Olmec.
Hi, Olmec.
And that was the pre-recorded thing that they kept for every, or for all 20 episodes of that season.
Oh my God.
And then I think the second season they had him like do different things to like shake it up, cause they had more of a budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he always had like a tool belt on and then he'd keep all the stuff.
Yeah. He's got the medallions or the tokens.
Yeah. He's got like the Indiana satchel, but Indiana Jones satchel, but on his belt. That's what it was. Yeah. And he just kept, it's like, you look like a lazy rock climber.
You're wearing the wrong clothes.
Yeah, I don't think this is, that's not how they get around.
Upon rewatch, I was actually really embarrassed for Kirk Frog.
Dude.
Kirk Frog. But like, imagine he's probably in his late 20s, yeah, early 30s. And like, people are like, what do you do? He's like trying to meet women. Like, what do you do? Well, I'm a game show guy on the Nickelodeon. Oh, like Double Dare? No, it's like this, I talk to this rock face and like there's temple guards. It's weird. Like
it's totally true. It's like Kirk Fogg is trying to get a job as an actor and he just ends up going and gets this gig as the host of this kid's TV show. And then it's like you say, it's like, oh, do you have any experience? It's like, yeah, I was the host of Temple Legends of the Temple. Okay, so we're going to typecast this guy. We'll put him in queue for Blue's Clues as well.
Like, Dora the Explorer background,
right?
Characters like, well, that's animated. Yeah, we know.
Yeah, we understand.
And you're assuming he was probably like a starving actor type that had just been out in L.A. and just going to Florida or whatever. And so they probably got him on, said, here, we're going to pay you 20 grand a year.
I mean, I wonder what he did get paid. Like,
it probably wasn't much,
probably okay. I would imagine like okay for like an Orlando or LA right. of like flat apartment, you know, like, yeah.
but this was the third longest running Nick game show behind Guts and Double Dare. So like
Double Dare was the first one too.
It was a very, very popular show that mm-hmm. generated a lot of income from them that I'm sure he'd probably be like, okay, so season two, like we're going pretty well here, guys. And they'd be like, take it or leave it, dude. Yeah,
like you signed a 3-year contract here, Kirk.
You're actually not that good, Kirk. We could have Kirk Cameron here in seconds. Kirk Fogg.
There's a lot of Kirks we could have on this show. But I do have to say that the workload must have been, I mean, like I imagine like watching these shows when I was a kid and like watching an episode and be like, oh, well, that must have been cool. It's like coming in to film like a 30-minute show just willy-nilly and
you
then
mean
going
be
home.
An audience member like
yeah, well go. either that or just like imagining yourself in Kirk's shoes and be like, oh, just coming to work for 30 minutes hosting a game and that's about it, I'll go home. No, he did 8 episodes a day and like worked like 16 hours. So what they would do is they would cast all these kids and have all these different storylines. And so like, say the moat was one,
right.
one thing that would have these group of kids do the moat.
These six teams
of two kids do the moat portion and then would have them chill for a little while. And they would have another
what?
Group of kids do the same thing on a different story in a different episode. So they would do all these like sequential things.
So
and
they had
like 48
teams of 11-year-old yeah. kids like in their studio.
Yep.
That would be terrible.
I can't, Lord. I mean, I imagine like, cause I'm like 8 hours a day is enough anyway. And then that,
and then you throw this kid
have it. And then like when the bullshit portion where he's like, he's got the cue cards. Like, so I hear you, like cheetahs. Like, what do you want me to work with?
And kids are not good at that age. I hear you. Tell me more about your love of cheetahs. I like them.
I like them.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you like about them?
I like turtles. Like
going back to picking the most like not quite developed kids, the most underdeveloped kids. It's like so. I hear Catherine, you like to draw. Yeah.
What do you
like to draw? Panthers.
Oh yeah. What do you like about panthers?
I like cats.
Okay. Onto your teammate, the next barracuda.
All right. Let's get back over there on the other side of the moat then and just get ready to do this. God damn it. I hate myself.
Well, and so if they're keeping, okay, let's be real here. Let's say it's a, what'd you say? Like a 12-hour day or something like that.
Yeah. Something like that.
So that means that the two kids from the first, the two kids that won the first moat, that ended up winning that entire show have been there for 12 hours. That they're clearly, they're just like, here, here's some Coca-Cola. Here's some Mountain Dew. Yeah. Here's some Surge. Here's some pizza. Surge. Like they're just literally just feeding these kids sugar all day long to have.
Well, I think they had like a arcade room or like the green room for the kids. It was like filled with arcade. And like you said, pizza and Surge, I would imagine, just to keep them fueled up. And then, like, you could see some of them crashing, though, like, especially in the interviews, you just be like the ones that gave like one word answers, just like, so you like, you want to be a vet? Yeah. Why do you want to be a vet? I like animals. All right. Anyway. It's like, just like you can tell, like, the fatigue of the surgeon pizza and the 12-hour work day.
I
only getting like a
carbo load off the pizza. Only like getting like a brick in my stomach.
And then like only getting a flute pop, whatever the fuck those were.
Dude, those were awesome. You don't remember those?
Oh, I love those.
In going back and watching these episodes, the prizes were just to be like Ratchet BK shoes.
Yeah,
oh my God. But in reviewing this now and knowing these things, like I used to envision that I'd be playing football on the beach with my brother during our vacation. A guy would walk up, say, you'd be perfect for Legends of the Hidden Temple. My parents drive me there. I do the 30-minute episode. I win a trip to Busch Gardens.
Yep.
And they carry me out like royalty, be like, Mike's the best kid in the entire world. Can you imagine, like, if I had gotten picked, my dad would have had to be there for like a 12-hour day on his vacation and just sit through this garbage. And be like,
if you don't win,
tell you what, knowing how the sausage is made, I really am glad I didn't go on as a contestant. Yes.
Yeah, it's like the veil was peeled back on this. It's like, wow, I don't really know if that show was as great.
That sounds awful.
So speaking of like him having a satchel and stuff like that, it was like pitched kind of as like an Indiana Jones meets Jeopardy kind of thing. So pretty much perfect show. Yeah. You know?
Well, and so then what did they do after the Steps of Knowledge? They went to the round three. They got down to two teams and they did like three Temple games. And they clearly got better as the seasons went on. First, they were just whatever. But then they'd have like water slides. You had to climb up and turn faucet. The games look legit.
Yeah.
And it was super cool. And that was between two teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would, there's a YouTube video of a guy who was a contestant on the show. And he like talks in his YouTube video about what it was. And he said that his team, he lost one of the Temple games, but they didn't get the right shot. So they had to like redo the Temple game.
Wow.
And he had to pretend like he lost again.
Really?
During the filming of it.
Wow. Oh, this fucking show.
Right?
That'd be so lame.
This episode's over, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, kind of like where I just edited that thing I just said right now out of the episode. You guys don't even know about it.
It's like, hey, we want you to pretend to lose again. You have to pretend to lose again. Yeah, let's just rub some salt in that wound that I didn't win the prize. I didn't get to go on to the Temple Run.
Ridiculous.
Wow. I mean, at least you get a fruit pop. Whatever. What are those called?
I don't know. Fruity
like,
pop.
Like parrot pops or something like that.
They're it was like a whistle pop. Yeah. How do you not know that?
So, I mean, like the games, like the Temple games were just like, let's have them reach and put this thing into the thing. And like, or let's, it's Amelia Earhart, so let's put planes on their head.
I saw that one.
And like bungee cords attach them, but it's slippery. So you better be careful, you know.
Gotta run as hard as you can, but then you get pulled back by the bungee cord. Oh no.
It's just like, and even then I'm just like, you just grab the edge, and like even Kirk is getting fucking frustrated. Like, grab the edge of the thing so you can have leverage.
This is his retribution. He's like, all these stupid kids making me sit here. He's like, yeah, yeah. Oh, I should keep laughing.
And it didn't feel very scripted. It felt like,
sure, yeah.
It felt like he had a cue card in his pocket that he'd be like, okay, I gotta say that. Okay. So then you're gonna get the airplane and you're gonna put the airplane on the other airplane and then start the clock.
Yeah. You have 30 seconds. It's not even enough time for anything.
No. So then I think why it was always so hard to win the Temple Run, which was the final act, we've gotten down to one team, is if you didn't win all three Temple games, you only had 1 to 1.5 pendants.
Right.
And you remember a full pendant would save you from the temple guards,
right,
which used to scare the shit out of me.
Man.
AJ, I imagine you were terrified of the temple guards.
Dude, so spooky. That's so spooky.
Still to this day.
Like they come out, I knew that when they were going to bust out, you're like, that door right there is definitely, I can see him.
And then they would like take the kid back into the door.
Yeah,
the
if
door
they didn't have a medallion or whatever. Yeah, they took them.
It's gone. So I thought like they were gone forever and tortured, but knowing what we know now, they're just like, here, have another pizza, kid. Like,
yeah.
We need more sugar so we can interview when we're talking.
That's so terrifying. I remember them like, and I believe there might have been times, didn't they also hide other pendants throughout
if
there?
You, yeah. So if you didn't win all of them, if you had a half, you could find the other half.
Find another half to save, to have another save from the temple guards. And so, but the... some of those things were so frustrating, and you could take different paths. And they had like the Medusa snake head.
Yep.
They had the gold monkey. What else did they have inside of there? Do you guys remember?
One of the mainstays of the whole temple was the swamp area. That was one of the main, and the one constant was the silver monkey.
That was the only one that was in nearly every episode.
Every single one of them, yeah. And I remember the one you just start off, and then there's like a pit of despair. That's what they called it.
It was called the pit of despair. Yes, yeah. That's exactly what it was called.
God.
And it's just priming them just for like, hey guys, depression's a real thing.
For their early 20s, like what?
Like, don't worry about it. You get this. It's like Zantac. when you get down and don't get the silver monkey right, take Zantac. And then it just goes list through all the side effects. It may kill you. It may make you lose sleep, but you'll be fine.
And you're gonna need it.
Yeah. Zantac.
It always frustrated me too, because again, there was always like the athletic kid, and I'm not saying it was always the boy, because there were times when the girl was like so athletic compared to the nerdy kid that like clarinet, the boy or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It always seemed like the lesser athletic one would go first.
Yeah,
and waste 2 minutes and 57 seconds before getting caught, and then the athletic kid's like, "I'm ready," and nope, I'm sorry, time's up.
Oh darn, you just ran out of time. There. Well,
the rare ones when they do win, it is that case where it's just like the guy, like one of them loses. It's like, I can't put the torso of the silver monkey on, which
you son of a.
And like they
gotta turn the head.
Yeah,
turn the head. Kirk Foggy yelling,
"Turn the head, you idiot!"
I remember just watching a kid just. Like a monkey hitting the computer or something like that, in trying to smash the head down, and then he walks away because he thinks that the bottom was the toy, so he flips it. I was like, no.
He's like, they go in the door that they came in from. It's like, what the no?
What?
It's one way. And the whole thing was like kind of like a U. Like, and
it was, yeah.
I remember in the second season they had like a map in the corner.
Yeah, where you could actually see where they're at.
Yeah, like they were tracing the puck in the early 90s.
I just remember, like, there's no way. I feel like I only saw two or three people ever win that thing. Yeah. But I was blown away when they said 32 people actually completed it and won.
Yeah, I mean, that's out of 120 episodes. Like, 32 is, well, 26.7%. You know, it's just like... you have to like dig deep for those episodes, you know, and, like on YouTube, if you look it up, there's like one video of like, and it's like the red monkey win of the temple. It's like a known thing. Like,
like this is the one,
like Bobby Orr wins the Stanley Cup, does a diving OT shot. You know, it's like that
against
kind of
the blues.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Thanks. No, that, I did read a few things that, I mean, think about the technology kind of involved in that. Like that was a pretty intricate temple system that it many times would misfire, and there would be like where the doors would not open. There was one where the elevator stopped halfway down and they like couldn't get it to work. So they just gave the kid the prize. They're like, yeah, you ran out of time. You didn't win. But afterwards, they're like, here's a prize. Yeah. And there was one where I think it's the run you're talking about where everything malfunctioned. All the doors were unlocked.
Oh,
everything just unlocked. So they just flew through it. There was no temple guards. There was nothing. Like nothing worked.
Once you get the item, that's what happens. But I think you're right when like it happened earlier than when they grabbed
they just
the
like all
bowling
opened.
Ball. The, pin,
a bowling ball.
So the prizes that they got, right? the prizes. I remember very specifically. I remember like
bubble beeper.
Yeah.
Here's or the tape measure tape. You tape know, like tape. You can buy this at the store for $1. Yeah, but we're gonna give it to you.
Like some of the big prizes were like Nickelodeon moon shoes. And it's like the shoes that like bounce around and break after like 3 uses. And then like another like big prize like. Was the Sega Saturn? Do you guys remember the Sega Saturn? The worst video game system in the history of video game systems.
Yeah, we played the shit out of it though.
I don't know, man. I never saw a Sega Saturn in my life. but like those are the consolation prizes that were just like you're just like I guess you guys get this because here we don't go. Want you to be complete losers.
Well, and they won something automatically for making it. To be the final team, they want something fairly decent, like Ratchet BK shoes.
Right.
Like, it's cool because there are no laces and you just ratchet it. And
great.
But, wow. But then if you picked up the item that you were looking for, you got another like decently higher prize.
Okay.
But then if you made it out, that's when you won like
the vacation,
the trip to Busch Gardens, which Busch you actually live 2 miles away from and have you've a season pass already.
Well, I and it's crazy because like they're obviously just ads because like, but don't worry, you're going home with something and it's bubble beeper. And then like when they cut to commercial right after, it's a commercial for bubble beeper.
Yes.
Yeah. Like obviously it's just like more advertising you know, like, and then when you see the credits, like sponsored by Busch Gardens, bubble beeper, you know,
Sega Saturn.
Exactly.
It's obviously Nickelodeon moon shoes.
Those were the worst shoes, dude. So did you ever have them?
A buddy had them and I strapped them on and I was like, this is the worst.
Dude, well, and that's the best because the commercials made it seem like you would jump like 8 feet in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a friend of mine at school bought them and he brought them and it was this huge ordeal. He's like, we're taking this out to recess. Like, it's going to be huge. And we all crowded around him and he put them on. He goes, here we go. And he like jumped 2 inches off the ground and fell over and hurt his ankle. And we're like, well, we're not buying those.
Exactly. You guys left him out there while class resumed.
It was literally it. Like you got like four bunny hops and then you gained some confidence and you rolled an ankle right off of. You're like, well, not using those anymore.
The genius of that era of like advertising, like you watch the old commercials that you just have these fond memories of. I mean, it was just so well put together to just grab you and be like, kid, you need this. And you just wanted it.
Yeah.
And those Nickelodeon I mean, that was an era for them just of their capitalization of the market and the kids and every kid watched Nickelodeon.
Yeah. I mean, we'll probably talk about it in these mini bites, but all that was just like a huge thing for me, you know, the slime time or whatever it was.
Yeah. That they did in all that. Right.
Yeah, I think so. It was just like, I loved it so much. And I think back on that and like, even when the show stopped airing, it then did reruns on Nick Gass, which was his game and sports.
Yep. Right.
And I remember the show Skate on there. I loved that so much. I think it was with, the guy from Scream, I forget his name. But I loved that. And I think that's how I consumed most of the show was probably the reruns on Gass. So,
yeah.
I loved it. I loved all the stupid shows that I just wanted to be a part of, but God knows I would have just like everything they else in life. I would have rolled my ankle and I would
they would have picked you, but like, oh, that's the guy we're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. It's an honor not to be picked.
Oh, well, I think that's going to do us for, actually, no, wait, you told me there was a movie.
There's a movie. There's a TV movie this got turned into. I was going to watch it before we came here, but I'm so much looking forward to watching it. It has Kirk Fogg in it. And, what's his name? Who does the Olmec voice?
What?
D. Bradley Baker returning. And, it was made for Nickelodeon. I think it's like 2000 and I want to say like 14 maybe. And like it showed, I saw some clips from it, watched the trailer and everything. It looks kind of legit. It like has a silver monkey in it and everything. And it's like got this family who's like traveling overseas and
I think I read about that. Is it 2016?
Okay.
That they did it. Okay. Or something like that.
Yeah. It was like a Nickelodeon television event pretty much.
And then they were that actually in 2020, they were going to do a more, an adult version of this. that was going to happen on a different network. And I don't know what happened to it, but yeah, that was,
I mean, hopefully it gets back going again. Maybe it was just because of this bullshit we're going through. That,
yeah, I would totally watch.
Yeah, just, man.
And again, be thinking I should be there.
What the fucking great idea from it would be is like people like us who watched it and be like, I would fucking do that and like see if they can do it like at our age, you know, like maybe hype up the stakes a little bit, like make the
actually have them do it
a little bit deeper, maybe
an adult version of Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Oh yeah.
Shit.
I'm so into it.
My guess is that made for TV movie probably had like a 7.1 on IMDb.com. Probably. That's about about where everything Roger Ebert loved it.
Yep. It takes place on December 31st. So like technically a Christmas movie. So if it's got Christmas in it, it's automatically 70%.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our little mini episode, Confused Breakfast mini bites. We're going to keep turning these out. Next week, you'll be able to tune in for episode number 8, actually, where we get back to movie reviews, The Wedding Singer. And then following that, we'll do another mini bite episode. So if you got any ideas of TV shows, products, anything pop culture related from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, hit us up.
Hell yeah.
We'll touch on it.
Boom.
We'll touch it on it.
Yes.
Tell us if you were a blue barracuda, a red jaguar, or a green monkey. Like, let us know. Let us know if you would have been a little bit better at these games than these kids were. And let us know if you could have put that silver monkey together.
Yeah. Let's go dunk on those kids.
And, you know, that's my advice in life. That's my advice at the end of this episode. Put that silver monkey together. Get back out there.
Take your time. Do it right.
Yeah. There you go.
Good call.
Well, I think we're not, that's it. We're just going to end these episodes. It's just going to be like, see you later.
Yeah.
Deuces. Big dummies. We'll see you. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.